Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All around the world.
Stay tuned.
We are taking over your airwaves. In 3, 2, 1.
Controversial conservative talk show host the left hates, Romeo Hill, on The Romeo Show. Call him now at 516-666-9806, and it all starts now.
It's time to crank it up.
Take the following everyday steps to protect yourself and others. Get a COVID-19 vaccine as soon as you can. If you are not fully vaccinated, wear a mask in indoor public places. Children under the age of 2 should not wear a mask. If you are fully vaccinated, wear a mask in indoor public places if you are in an area of substantial or high transmission or if you have a weakened immune system. Stay 6 feet from others who are not part of your household. Avoid crowds and poorly ventilated spaces. Wash your hands often. Cover coughs and sneezes. Clean high touch surfaces daily.
The risk of severe COVID-19 increases as the number of medical conditions increases in a person. COVID-19 vaccination and protective measures are important, especially if you are older or have multiple or severe medical conditions. Vaccination, wearing a mask, staying 6 feet from others, and washing your hands often are important protective measures if you are older or have certain medical conditions. If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, stay home except to get medical care. Monitor your symptoms. If your symptoms get worse, contact your doctor. Get rest and stay hydrated. Avoid public transportation, ride sharing, or taxis. And take these 6 steps to protect others. Wear a mask over your mouth and nose if you must be around other people. Cover your mouth and nose with a tissue when you cough or sneeze. Clean your hands often with soap and water or use hand sanitizer, especially after coughing or sneezing. As much as possible, stay in a separate room and away from others in your home. Avoid sharing personal household items such as dishes, utensils, towels, or bedding. Wash these items thoroughly after using them, and clean all surfaces that are touched often, like counters and doorknobs, every day.
For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
For the most accurate health information, visit cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
Oh! What's that, fucking? I think I'm nuts. Okay, here's why. Number one, I think everybody enjoys it when I start losing it, or when Romeo ends up having a storm on the show, and he just starts ranting and raving about all this other stupid that's going on. And, yeah, of course, it's fun when I'm the one that's completely lost it. And everybody else is just sitting there going, we're all enjoying it. Like, hey, Romeo lost it. That's great. Let's all cheer him on. But then, you know, I realize something. The more I become nuts, the more you guys decide, well, Romeo, you haven't just lost it. We already know you've lost it. But not only that, but you know what's funny? Is that everybody likes when I lose it. When I go completely ape and I say, well, the whole God honest to truth is this, this, and this. And it's like everybody cheers for it. They love it. They like it. So, I don't know. I think people just feel like me going nuts is absolutely the need for today's society. Or they just cheer me on because, shit, when I'm nuts, guess what? Everybody still loves me. And they all just look at it like, hey, it works, right? Romeo's got the brightest idea because, hey, when Romeo loses his complete sanity, it's like he's making sense. So who's nuts? Romeo or us? Well, I think we're all nuts in a way. Now, when I say I'm nuts, like, I already knew I lost it 20 years ago in my life. So I completely lost my sanity. Not like I'm insane or need psychological help, though that would be awesome if, you know, I could get a psychologist that would. No, I'm just joking. By the way, I don't need a psychologist. I'm not that completely ape fat. But, I mean, I get it. I feel and understand, like, every time people think that my little rants and raves on my channel or the radio show seem to be so well orchestrated where I just tend to lean towards going nuts and just being honestly me, provocative. And when I am so provocative, everybody's like, oh, that's great, that's the Romeo we like, yay! And it just feels like, wait a minute. So I'm having to become two people at one time. Sometimes I wonder, do I live a double life? You know, there are times where I kind of wonder, do I live that double lifestyle? Where I live in my personal bubble where I'm completely honest and sanity, and I have 100% sanity. And then I live in the YouTube world where I feel like, okay, maybe I completely have lost my sanity, but still, somewhere in my crazy little thought-up provoked mind, I can create the happiness by being completely insane and going complete batshit for everybody. But it works! Now, don't get me wrong, Cuggins, it's not the bright idea of the light bulb, you know, the brightest bulb in the shed idea to actually have me be this complete insane. But it works! I've learned that my sanity has, my me being nuts, it has worked many years. I've done what I thought I could never do. Completely think of myself as nuts. Now, Romeo, you're not nuts. You're just batshit crazy now, fucking, I mean, come on, Romeo, you're batshit crazy. We know you're not nuts. You're batshit. All right, fine. I am batshit crazy, but hell, y'all pay. I mean, y'all come on my channel to see me do that, so why the hell not? Why not provoke more interesting thoughts? Well, Romeo, you are bat crazy, though. We can't got to admit, you're bat nuts. Yeah, but, you know, my out of my craziness, I come to realize there's got to be some truth in my within itself. Somewhere in my sanity brain, I can find actual truth. Now, going back to, like, feeling like I'm living that double life, I do sometimes. I feel like it is almost like I'm living that double lifestyle, where part of me is completely, like I said, sane, and where it works. But it doesn't all the time, so, you know, I have to then go nuts. And it seems like when I go nuts all the time, it just makes everybody happy for me. Like, everybody's just freaking enjoying it. Like, you all enjoy me being batshit nuts. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong completely with sometimes being batshit nuts. But there are times where being batshit nuts isn't a good thing. And let me tell you, Fuggins, I probably have almost lost it a few times. And let me tell you, being batshit nuts, it may get you some good YouTube ratings and views, but it's definitely going to make a lot of people question your sanity. And I've had that yet a lot, and still get it yet today. And I started to realize, you know, maybe my batshit sanity actually plays a good role in life. Because I realize at the end of the day, comedy, it's like we all live in a circus. It's just going to be which one's the next act. So just stick around, folks. You might see the next act come out of me. And I bet you it's going to be a good one. Anyway, I love y'all. Don't forget, get a Mud Jug at mudjug.com. You know the deal. Go support them. We are not sponsored by them yet, but I just want to say thanks to mudjug.com for being awesome, signing my Mud Jugs. And you guys are beautiful. I love you guys. I'll see you guys next time. Ciao. Coming.
Now, if Romeo, this is Scott Hum, by the way, for the listeners. Excuse me. Excuse me. If Romeo doesn't sound insane, and that's, at least that chicken does. Romeo, are you insane and nuts?
I consider myself remotely nuts. I've driven myself nuts. I think I've absolutely lost it. No, I'm kidding. Sometimes I do. With everything that I do in my life and how I perceive myself, I feel like it's almost like everybody cheers me on to do this. I feel like I'm just the great circus show of the century sometimes.
Well, sometimes you are the sideshow freak, and sometimes you're the ringmaster. Do you ever feel like the roles conflict, where you don't know who you are?
No, I already know who I am. I've always known that I am who I am and never really thought of it differently. But there are times where I'm going on YouTube and I just start forgetting what my general role is. And
What is your general role?
Just make every viewer happy. As long as they're content, I feel like that is the general goal of my life, is make my viewers happy, make them laugh, and sometimes, yeah, maybe make them question my sanity.
Oh, we question your sanity quite frequently. You did make a viewer happy, I understand, who shall be remain unnamed and descriptionless, but she was definitely smiling. And how I got to see that, I can't tell the listeners. Romeo at this point is going, oh my God, he actually said that? Yeah. But then again, you guys don't know the complete frame of reference, and you won't, so hee. One thing that I would like to ask as a frame of reference, do we have at least a few percentage now, by the way?
Yes, we do.
Good.
Four.
Good. And I know sometimes you love and sometimes you hate the role of journalist, but sometimes journalism doesn't always go with politics. Sometimes it goes with pop culture. And one of the biggest things of pop culture, at least on Facebook and YouTube, and it's not a big thing, but it gets convoluted, is Ryan Upchurch. Now, you know what's going on with Ryan Upchurch, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I've been keeping up with that. I've done a couple videos on it, actually.
Okay. Well, so help me figure this out. I mean, it was Luke Combs. Luke Combs, right?
No, are you talking about Heavy Duty Country?
No. He commented on a lot of things, but there was a video that Ryan Upchurch did. Was it with Luke or somebody else?
I don't think Ryan would be doing any more videos with Luke because he really does not like Luke Combs at all.
Well, what was the video he did?
Maybe I'm wrong.
What was the video that started the whole thing?
Are you talking about him versus Heavy Duty Country? Because that one is the biggest one that has been going around lately.
Well, what's going on
with
that?
So, okay, here's the thing. Heavy Duty Country is saying that he paid for a plane ticket to go see Church, or Church was going to help him go over there and make a music video or some sort like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Upchurch is like, okay, then I'll let you meet my producer, Boozy, which is a guy that supports BLM, does not like white people, and talks about his children having, I guess we could say, supposed sexual relations with a older adult.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty controversial, heavy stuff. And
sounds like sexual relations with old people. Sounds like a Biden joke setup. But anyway, go ahead.
No, these kids are minors. His kids are, his two sons are underage, and supposedly they had gotten sexual acts from a adult, alleged adult.
And alleged acts will say that, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, Heavy Duty, knowing him, he kind of went off the hinge and reacted to it and called out Church.
Well, yeah.
And of course, we understand that, you know, Church doesn't really associate with that kind of stuff. And Church's reply was, well, look, if I didn't see it, if I didn't witness it for myself, then I ain't going to do squat. There's nothing I can do about it. It's not my problem, which it's kind of the beauty of with Upchurch himself, is that he has a way where if he sees a problem with something and it's not his particular problem, then he's going to just ignore it, which is great because the beauty of it is that Upchurch just doesn't want more drama. And he's had enough in his life. He's gone through enough in his years of being a YouTuber and being a sensation musician and an artist and a hip-hop artist that he just is trying to stay away from that. And Heavy Duty's kind of blasting him and calling him out, saying that, you know, I guess supposedly Ryan might be kissing BLM's butt and supporting this, or allegedly allowing support for Bougie's two alleged minor sons to supposedly have sexual acts be done upon them by a supposed alleged adult, or should we say a adult, sexual relations with minor from an adult, and just blasting Upchurch about it, just letting kind of people know what's going on. And Church has been very quiet about it, but there were points in the videos where Heavy Duty would show videos of what Church was saying back, and it's just really stupid, I think, because Heavy Duty Country, he calls himself an American patriot, which I'm not going to really poop on him, but I'm sorry, Heavy Duty, bro, I get where you're coming from, but dude, you need to chill the heck out, dude. You having beef with Ryan, and then the musician that supposedly Heavy Duty Country was trying to become didn't work out because he found out that the music that that Church's producer was giving him was stuff already written on YouTube and found on YouTube, which basically could violate copyright claims and problem. It could be more problematic. Well, here's the reason why I think Heavy Duty needs to chill out a little bit with this. One, Upchurch is just trying to give you a little bit of a taste of what it would be like to be in a musician career. Mm-hmm. He's generous enough that he said that he would give him 4, even though Heavy Duty claims 5 songs were supposed to be given to him, but 4. And you got to also realize that Upchurch's producer isn't just working for Church only, exclusively. We know possibly that it's not a possibility that Upchurch's producer is only being exclusively to Church, but to other people as well. So his producers have to do whatever he can do to get whatever music made while he can, which, 4 very quickly out of the gate, that was pretty good, but apparently it was copyrighted music. Now, the big problem with this is that Heavy Duty Country should have not really attacked Church with the way he came at Church. Yes, Church, kind of a lot of people were starting to think, was becoming a Hollywood boy. He changed a little bit more than what he should have. He went, supposedly, a lot of people thought Church went Hollywood and kind of got out of his roots in his face. Now, I'm not saying 100% that could be a possibility, but Church is always going to be what he wants to be. Church is going to 100% continue to speak his mind, and Church is going to produce music no matter what. So for a Heavy Duty Country to have beef with Church when it's his producer that's kind of the scumbag of the situation, the bad person of the situation.
The bad guy, yeah.
Heavy shouldn't have come at Church. Now I see why Heavy is going after Church. Yeah, Church kind of canceled last minute, but there could be a lot of things that in this story we don't know from Church's side of what could have caused it. So we're only hearing Heavy's side, but Church is staying very quiet about it.
Well, which is probably a good thing, because here's the thing that we alluded to earlier. Ryan Upchurch is continuing his attempt to defend the use of Confederate flag in an old Luke Combs music video. I think the two of them were together. And the clip that was shared with fans on Instagram over the weekend, this was about a year ago. This has still been kind of sour grapes. Quote, "You thought that was an apology video? That's cute," he began. So, you know, they are both sensitive to how the public sees them, especially when it's something controversial like a Confederate flag or a non-traditionally sexed producer who may be unwittingly, I would hope. But then again, HDC probably should have known and asked the copyright status and so on. But, you know, they both have their issues. And like you said, Heavy Duty Country is, you know, tried to go somewhat of the music route and now is going strictly comedy and politics and commentary like you do a lot. But it becomes kind of awkward. I mean, from the production side, this is just my opinion. I mean, and you produce another show or two and so on. So maybe, I mean, you can understand this too. There's a responsibility of the producer who's coming to somebody and saying, hey, I've got some music, but however, it is already out there. It's already copyrighted. I can work with you and, you know, the copyright holder, their management, et cetera, to get you the rights to cover it. But at the same token, you know, I need to let you know this. And HDC, at the very least, from the talent point, should have known enough to ask anyway. What do you think of that?
I agree. Now, with the Confederate battle flag, I did want to talk about this a little bit on my show because it has been brought up a lot to my attention that a lot of people know I have that flag behind me. And a lot of my videos, when I'm in my studio, I have that flag right behind me flying with my mud jug, Dixie mud jug, the same thing, my Dixie belt, my Dixie dog tag. I wear that stuff, like, loud and proud. I am not going to be sorry for it. And I talked about it multiple times on my video that, look, if we have rights to fly an American flag, why don't we have the right to fly a Confederate battle flag? Which does not mean slavery, does not mean we hate black people, we are racist. It don't mean that. It don't mean none of that. And I got really quick to put it out there. People are quick today to get butthurt about a situation that happened 250 years ago and supposedly is still happening to them today, which is not. No one's oppressing nobody. It's the problem is that a lot of people like to try to rewrite history or reword how history was done and what had happened in the past to a point where it's just so ridiculous, it's stupid, and it's asinine to hear, oh, that flag represents racism. How can you fly it? No, it doesn't. And if you've done your research and your history, you could see back then that this flag was not officially used until towards probably the very, very end of the Civil War was this Dixie flag raised or used. The original Confederate battle flag was called the Stars and Bars. May I say it again? The Stars and Bars. That's the original Confederate battle flag. The Confederate battle flags have changed over the years until finally, towards the end of the war, the one that I fly and the same one that a lot of rednecks and a lot of Southern people tend to fly is the Confederate battle flag. It doesn't have racism in its roots. It has, we call pride, rebel pride. It's being, and that's why we get called rebels, because we rebel against the Dixiecrat. We rebel against the government tyranny and what's going on with the government's tyranny. We rebel against it because we don't agree with it. And a lot of people don't realize this because they claim, like, I love it when a person, let's just say, like, a certain person gets triggered about it, and they use the words, well, my ancestors were enslaved, or my family were enslaved, and why you find that flag, it's racist. Well, you don't realize that there's a lot of people of color in the South that actually fly that same flag. They fly that same flag. And you claim it to be racist, but you're mad
a person who is just proud to be whoever they are. It's like waving an American flag. Mm-hmm. You're just showing you're proud to be American. It's our way of showing we're proud to be Southern. I fly that flag with zero sympathy, zero remorse, zero care. If somebody gets in my face about it, I'm going to be like, dude, what's he going to do? Because at the end of the day, bro, you be putting hands on me. Do you really think it's worth going to jail to put hands on somebody just for something you disagree with? You could easily walk away. You could easily just turn your head and ignore what triggers you. It's just like a TV. Today, we have the brain capacity, the brain mechanism to turn off or turn away from something we don't agree with. But now, and I'm going to use the word punks leniently because I think today's society is full of little punks that grew up on the wrong side of history. Their teachers indoctrinated things that weren't correct, that not even the real history books actually said. Because when it's all said and done, as long as their brain believes that they either are the oppressors or the oppressed, it's not going to be a win-win situation for them until they get what they want. Well, have they gotten so far what they wanted? Burning, looting, and murdering, screaming, hating people? I mean, let me put a quote up for you, Scott, and you might like this. You got people with signs waving at Black Lives Matter. Yeah, Black Lives Matter, but my life matters as well. Y'all trying to get to the swimming pool, but you're stuck in the well. You shout and compel, but no one's going to compel. When you're out there telling the city that your city helped build, how your kids going to learn from the mistakes they made in the past? When you're racing that like you want to just freaking relax, Bloodshed by Upchurch. He's talking about how, yes, their lives do matter, but all lives matter. Mm-hmm. Everyone can fly their own flag. Let them be. It's called the free country. The first constitution, the first part of the constitution says we the people have the right to freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom to protest in peaceful form manner, like Martin Luther King. Then you hear about how all these Democrats out there talking their junk, saying that George Floyd's killing was worse than Martin Luther King's assassination. Hello? Did you forget that Martin Luther King actually wasn't a thug?
Yeah. Well,
he wasn't a person that wanted to cause trouble. He was a person that was a doctor, a reverend, Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King. He was a reverend and a doctor preaching God's word and spreading love and compassion by ending racism, by having everyone peacefully protest. Now, I'm all for it. I'm great if you peacefully do this, but leave our flags alone. BLM, if you mess with our flags, we will mess with yours. We don't care that you were out there. Honestly, at the end of the day, if you can say that you peacefully done something like Martin Luther King, then feel good. If you can't, then you didn't do anything worth anyone's time and spectacular to notice, be noticed. Yeah. You will be noticed with more peace than violence. And when people fly that Confederate flag, we aren't flying it for violence. We're flying it for peace.
Now, I got to jump back and ask you. About 7 to 10 days ago, HDC, Heavy Duty Country, was calling out Ryan Upchurch on the, what had been going on. And it seems, I'm just looking at, I didn't do the videos, but just looking at them on the research, puns and parodies, 2AM reacts, Mike the Conservative Michelandiger, Loaded Corvette, well, no, that was about the Philippine Navy, Farmenka TV, HDC Dance, et cetera. I mean, they're all popping up with the criticism, I guess, of... towards Heavy Duty Country. Then let's see. Let's look up Ryan Upchurch.
And go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, this week he was talking about 2 hours ago, Brian Upchurch is tired of being silenced, done holding back goes off. Only I Can Stop Me, a new song, explains what really happened with Morgan Wallen, which that was some more bad blood going on. I mean, yeah. I almost wonder if there is, and I thank for some of the callers who've popped in and are listening and so on, but I just wonder if, you know, there's too much going on that Upchurch might be himself crossing a line as well. I mean, his third Instagram account was banned, and he was saying, you know, CountryCast reported that, and he's saying that there's no meaning for it. But then again, he seems to get into a lot of issues with other artists and so on. And I mean, 3 days ago, his mom even had some things to say about this. Ryan Upchurch fans had the video for that. And Dagburn, Johnny Gobble, he had a video that Ryan Upchurch did another video to. But I mean, it just seems to be really confusing why they can't just make music and go for it. Or is it just, do you think, here's the question, a clash of egos, or is this a publicity stunt, or a series of publicity stunts?
It could be like that in multiple interpretations. One, I see, you know, Upchurch did respond by trying to supposedly buy Heavy Duty Country's name, which still...
How can you buy a name? Plus, I mean, he could trademark it if he wanted to.
Well, that's the thing, is that there's a way where you register, like, your name, your channel's name or whatever, if you really choose to.
Yeah.
And you would have to pay, like, a federal kind of tax or whatever, I think, for it.
It's $200 to $500.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Upchurch tried to buy the Heavy Duty Country name, and what I guess Heavy Duty Country did mention very well was that what Upchurch did forget, and probably some of us didn't realize, we all thought, okay, that's it, Heavy Duty owned by Church. That Church didn't see that Heavy Duty still have time. He still has ample enough time to re-buy his name back and to put his name out there again and pay for whatever he has to in order to keep his name there. And so Heavy Duty Country did the same thing. It was kind of a tick for tack. But Country said, you know, I'm not going to buy it. I'm going to let you go with it. But just remember that we're even, and just remember what I did for you. So I think this beef is to be put in multiple ways, as in it might be a publicity stunt, it might be an actual feud, and possibly also maybe ego. So I think it could have a little bit of both. Knowing Church, he does have a way with how he holds himself pretty tight.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks of himself as, you know, he doesn't claim to be high and mighty, but some people will see that as maybe it's just how Church is. Like, some people think Church does have an ego problem. Some people think that Heavy Duty has an ego problem. So it really could be a mixture of everything, you know, just into one big pot.
Yeah, I just looked up the cost of trademark fees, $500.
Yeah, so...
And I think either one of them could afford it. So you think it could be ego, or it could be a stunt? I don't... But
I think it's...
Go ahead.
But what?
Well, I was going to say, you know, this is just my opinion. I mean, and the listeners, I think, have heard me say this before. I mean, I've got a bachelor's in broadcast journalism and production. I've freelanced 20, 25 years in the media, and I've even done some consulting work in the media and so on. I mean, I'm not your garden variety guy who fell off the turnip truck, and I'm doing YouTube and websites and shows. No, I'm not your average idiot. Well, I'm not an idiot, but certainly. But I really think that if there, and I don't want to say if there's a villain, but I think Ryan Upchurch knows what he's doing. I think Heavy Duty Country knows what he's doing. And I wouldn't be surprised if they are both talking in the background. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if they are going to Blog Talk and Acast and Podchaser and Google and Stitcher and TuneIn and Player FM and one of these places picking up our sites and laughing. And they're laughing.
Well, let me bring this up real quick, Scott. You brought up a very good point, and I wanted to stop you real quick because Heavy Duty Country does show his text, the video response from Church. So there is talk in the background, but in the video, when Heavy Duty Country is talking, it's not like a casual, normal, civilized conversation. There is beef going on.
Now, you're picking that up as a journalist, and that is interesting. What do you feel is going on? What signs and signals are you getting from them in the videos? Because you do videos, and you've even looked at the what they call the meta side of things, no pun intended, to Facebook, their new parent company name, no pun intended at all. But what are you saying that you're picking up here, maybe?
Maybe there is some point that maybe Church did kind of flake out. And, I get it. Heavy Duty Country is a little peeved about it. He's a little mad about it because with the rights, he's going to have to either pay his own money to get there or Ryan was offering. So, but it wasn't Ryan that was going to pay for it. It was Country that was going to pay the trip to get there. So it is kind of sad to see that Heavy Duty is trying to bring truth, but it's good that we know that they're both sides. But when Duty's talking, he's showing so much, like he's trying to prove himself as not the bad guy. But in the same token, Church hasn't really spoken much about it. So that kind of gives me a weird conclusion of why would Church normally be silent like this when this is his obvious point of interest to blast somebody or reply back to somebody when something is said about him. It's typical for Church to do it, but it's really odd to see Church not do this as much. I mean, he made a couple of replies about different things, but some of them might have been objective with how he was saying things, maybe putting in a little hints about what was going on. But Church is being somewhat very mellow and kind of, I guess, manila about it and just not really caring, while Heavy Duty getting really, sorry to say, butt hurt and wound up about it.
Well, there has to be
truth in this. And somewhere along the lines, I think that it's not really about villain and good. I think it just has to do with that there is real beef. There's something going on, and maybe, I hate to say it, but maybe Church might be going Hollywood.
But let me get this straight to make sure I understand. Wasn't it Church's producer who was loaned out to Heavy Duty Country, right?
Yeah, for the music, yes. But but Heavy Duty was going to come out there and do the music with Church and work on it with them.
But here's the thing that I don't understand. I would presume that the producer, now this is a big potential yuck fest, got the rights and or agreements for the people who did the original music for Ryan to perform. But you would think he, as at least a business courtesy, would have done the same thing for Heavy Duty Country, right?
You would think, I mean, Church was trying to tip his hand towards Heavy and saying, let's try it. But something happened, and supposedly church flaked, and the four musics that supposedly country was going to get were already something on YouTube or whatever. So it's not more of like, okay, church is 100% at fault. Church probably would have not known that this was going to happen.
Sometimes the producer,
if a producer is rotten, they will try to be manila about it. They'll be chill about it. They'll just be, whatever, we got you, homie, we got you. But
yeah,
try to play it off as nothing's going to happen and then turn around and bite you later.
Yeah, I mean, the likelihood of a live performance being caught by a spotter for a music license agency is usually not big, but when there is somebody who is perceived as having deep pockets, record companies start and management companies start sending out. I mean, let's see, let's look at this Upchurch net worth. And there we go. His net worth supposedly as of January was $4 million. And let's see, heavy duty country net worth is much more modest. He's saying, or actually vidrepeat.com is saying the average earning per video of heavy duty country is about $214 to $611. That's dollars. And that's estimated net worth between $63,500 and $147,700. So if and you know, 480,000 subscribers for heavy duty country, estimated, okay, here we go, from usscreen.tv and vid repeat heavy duty country's estimated net worth $132,977. So if now I'm conjecturing here, and I'm not making any allegations, but I'm just saying the magic phrase, what if that producer wanted, for what, motivated by whatever, wanted to put a dent in heavy duty country as reduce his visibility as a video threat and so on, and set him up. I mean, that could, a legal battle over public performance of copyrighted videos. And then if the videos are on YouTube and they're not Creative Commons, that adds to the legal side of things. It wouldn't clean him out, but it would take it on the chin.
Yeah, and, you know, that was what I was saying, was it was a possible setup by the producer. And
an alleged setup, we'll say. Allegedly alleged setup. Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. If Church is so close to, or may not be close to who he's working with, Church has the kind of sense of ability to where he can get a feel, a vibe for that person and say, okay, this person to me is bringing good vibes, or this person is not bringing good vibes at all.
Mm-hmm.
And Church knows how to kind of read that. So Church would have an understanding with Heavy Duty that, okay, Church and Heavy Duty are almost like they do the same thing on their YouTube with the comedy and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could jump from YouTube, like Upchurch did, from being a musician to talking about what's going on in his life to the politics today. But look at Heavy Duty. He's got no music background, zero background in probably gaming, because Heavy Duty doesn't look like the kind of guy that would be a gamer like Church would. And Heavy Duty is more about politics. He's more about being straight up about what's going on in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
These are two different people, but they tend to sometimes do the same thing, like I do. And when it comes down to, like, YouTube, yes, some YouTubers don't like other YouTubers because either other YouTubers got the bigger ego, or they just ran off a very bad vibe. And I think that does have to be said, that it was possible setup, an alleged possible setup.
Well, here's another thing that really should resonate with you. The other guy who's not in the mix, almost conspicuously, is Jared Outlaw, otherwise known in real life as Jared Boyce, who has remained very quiet in this feud. His last video was the romantic dip ever created. I think he did that with his wife. That was 3 weeks ago. The new and improved Everyday Carry a Big Knife. He did a comedy thing on that, about the Yellowstone truck 1 month ago as well. But
here's why, Jared, I think is not getting involved. Number one, Outlaw is the kind of guy where he's not going to be a guy that's going to get into the YouTube drama. He wants to stay away with it from it. One, I think he might be good friends with Upchurch, and he's done videos with Church when he was younger, and when Church was able to go see Outlaw, they were, from what I could see, pretty good friends. Like, they were good acquaintances. The vibe was good for them. Church was liking it. They were both dipping and just chatting away about whatever came to their head. And Church may have affiliations with Outlaw. Now, Outlaw may not have or may have a supposed affiliation or friendship with HDC. So, that being said, I think Outlaw's just one of those smart guys where he doesn't want to get involved in it because he doesn't want to ruin a friendship. He doesn't want to ruin anything that he has with people. He just, he'd rather attend to what he does and what he knows best, which is being a YouTuber comedian and always making quirky jokes and being dorky on his videos. And it makes everybody laugh. So why would Upchurch want Outlaw to be involved when it has nothing to do with Outlaw and his name would never put in there? It wouldn't. Outlaw would be going involved maybe if it did have his name thrown in there. But Heavy Duty and Church never threw Outlaw's name out there to be used for Outlaw to want to have any position in this.
So it's clever he's staying out of it. The other party that is potentially, and they've been staying out of it, Mudjug, they are remaining out of it because they are not involved. In fact, let's take a look at the Mudjug website and see if either Heavy Duty Country does not, to the best of my knowledge, have anything with them going on. Let's see, our partners, let's check that. Outlaw, his dip is there. Tough Guy Chew, okay. Don't see anything else. Let's go to their press page. And so Outlaw seems to be the only one they're aligning with at this point. And I'm not seeing anything else, really, that mentions Heavy Duty Country, who, again, to the best of my knowledge, has not had an alignment with Mudjug. Upchurch, let's see, let's do a search, Upchurch and Mudjug.
Well, and real quick, the thing about this is that Mudjug's company are meant, they're meant to be like dipping gaming YouTubers or just like Mudjug himself. He's more, he'll talk about dip or what's on his mind, and he stays out of YouTube drama. This is what I kind of recognize, is that a lot of YouTubers want to go for the money. They're all in it for the money, and they don't care about it.
But
and
I notice
then
when
they turn around and they think, well, wait a minute, we're making money off of my viewers. So that means that we're able to get money from them. No, the thing of it is that once you get into like YouTube drama and stuff, your ratings and what people will want to pay for their super chat will go down. So if you get into the middle of some kind of stupid YouTube beef, guess what? It's going to make you look bad. So nobody's going to want to pay, or nobody's going to want to watch your content anymore or pay for your product anymore if they get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I like about Mud Jug and Chris Dips One. They stay out of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I was just noticing something. I did a search on Outlaw. 5 months ago, he did fishing songs, and they're more comedy than anything. That was about 5 months ago. He hasn't done anything since then. You mentioned also that the amount of fans and fan involvement and so on, that that there is. You, when you do a video, for example, you're not even, you know, I know some of your financials, you're not even making as much as Heavy Duty Country, but
no.
And he's making on the small end of things, but you do care for your fans, you know, like that clip at the beginning of the show said. Do you think that maybe they're both not to blame, but both going Hollywood to a degree?
I think it could be possible because a lot of YouTubers sometimes will get so big and so popular that at some point they forget their fans, and they forget that their fans were what made them.
Mm.
And they forget that, and it's like when they get to the top, they feel so invisible that when something bad happens and they start crashing down, guess what? They hit rock bottom. They don't have the support underneath them anymore. They don't have what they once had. It's because people are leaving them because they are going Hollywood. So there is a chance. And I think a lot of YouTubers are doing that.
Mm. Well, I didn't mean to commandeer your show, but however, it's interesting conversation. What else is, and you've had some, speaking of interesting conversation, some interesting videos recently. I wanted to just congratulate you on and ask a couple questions. When I look up at some of your videos, you had the Am I Nuts? You did a Rap Saturday Love Fever, Exposing the Young Turks or Turds, Why Romeo? What's with the exposing the Young Turks or Turds? And I know you'll use the word allegedly and things like that frequently, but what's going on with them?
So they're a news organization that is pretty liberal, that dumps on white Americans. They hate Christians about as much as they hate Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just a group of people that need to be seen as the enemy of media. Like, this is bad media. This is not real journalism. This is fake journalism at its finest. And a lot of people don't realize, like, they watch that and they think, oh, yeah, Chunk the Ogre, Chunk Ogre, or whatever his name is, I call him Chunk the Ogre, but Chunk the Ogre gets on, he's got 25 or 30 minutes in a program. And he starts spewing out hate speech and just rambling nonsense. That do we really care about your belief and your hate towards America? And do you believe really deep down that a lot of people that you're blaming is the problem?
Well, I want to jump in real quick with an unbiased view. According to Wikipedia, thanks. Uger, born March 21, 1970. Well, he's an Aries, just like me, so that explains why he's overblown a bit. Turkish-American political commentator, media host, attorney. Oh, that's a big one there. And journalist, creator of The Young Turks, an American left-wing social, political news and commentary program known for promoting progressive politics and left-wing ideals. Worked briefly as an associate attorney in D.C. and New York City, supported social conservative positions, but his views evolved as he began to identify as a progressive. He's also a co-founder of the Justice Democrats. He appeared on MSNBC as a political commentator, and then weeknight commentary show from January to June 2011, replaced by Al Sharpton, who's another piece of work. So his ratings tanked. MSNBC did not like it. And if his ratings did tank, sure as heck, it was alienation of even their left side of things. Secured weekend commentary show on Current TV, which syndicated December 11 to August 13. And from 12 to 13, chief news officer at Current TV, succeeding Keith Olbermann, who originally, by the way, came from the news side or the sports side of NBC. Let's see. And he's been a candidate in California's 25th congressional district to try to overtake Representative Katie Hill. And he lost both elections, fourth place, less than 6% of the vote. And so it's, to be fair, the Young Turks launched its own TV format, 24-hour channel on YouTube TV, which includes live and pre-recorded programming. I don't see, and I'm pretty sure that there is, he's carried on some of the minor cable satellite systems, but not really, not really the most telegenically nice guy in the media. With that, so with all that said, and that's, except for my commentary, that's from Wikipedia, which is known for being straight shooting fair.
Not really, but okay.
Well, most of the time. What would be an example of somebody
anymore.
They weren't fair to? Not anymore. Who are they not fair to?
Well, I mean, look at what they wrote about Trump. Look at what they wrote about Trump supporters. They call him white supremacist. Wikipedia is part of what I guess Mark Dice would consider as the liberal media industrial complex. They use words to sound very big boyish and sound like they are actually a journalist, but they aren't. And that's the sad thing about with the media today is that a lot of the media today, they really screw up, and they just, like the chunk yogurt, they get to a point where it's so extreme that it makes you sick. So it's bad.
Is there anything else that makes you sick or that you want to put out in your show?
I think that if we're talking about like real media stuff, I got to be honest. If you believe that people like Chunk Yogurt are really true blue news media, then give me a definition of what they've said that is 100% factual. 100% of everything that you claim, show me where you get your statistics. And they Young Turks have never been able to do that.
Oh.
They only go by their feelings.
I was going to say, I'll have to have the fact checkers look up that.
For sure.
Well, Romeo, is there anything else you want to cover in your show here?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Well, with that, we might as well go out with a song, and we'll play your complete intro. And thanks for letting me help you out here. And thanks for all of you listening.
Thank you,
Scott. Yeah, thanks for listening to The Romeo Show.
Hello, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All around the world.
Stay tuned.
We are taking over your airwaves. In 3, 2, 1.
The most controversial conservative talk show host the left hates, Romeo Hill, on The Romeo Show. Call him now at 516-666-9806, and it all starts now.
It's time to crank it up.